Series 7 of Boardroom to Box Office is coming to a close.
And I've had some amazing guests. But today, I've allowed myself to be put under the spotlight and interviewed by my very good friend and confidant, the brilliant Ruth Langsford. So sit tight and fasten your seatbelts.
Yes, Liz Taylor. I'm very much looking forward to this. Obviously, loved being on the podcast, loved talking to you about me. But now it's your turn. And I could make all the jokes, Liz, because we're mates. But actually, I really want to talk to you about business because, in my opinion, you are a brilliant businesswoman. I've known you for many years and I've seen you work. I've seen you go through ups and downs. I see how you forge through. I've seen you speak. I've been to events where I've been on stage with you. And I think you're fantastic, obviously. But listen, I look at you, I go, Liz Taylor, entrepreneur, event planner, hospitality consultant, author, podcaster. You know, there's so many strings to your bow. But I want to talk about events that made you, because that's what I came on to talk to you about on the podcast. And I want to go back to March 2020, COVID. I mean, it seems such a long time ago now. But when we cast our minds back, it was a terrible time for everybody. Very frightening. I remember being in London in March 2020. It's my birthday and the city was locking down.
And mine, Ruth.
And yours, yes. Same birthday.
I was in the Ivy about to have lunch with some friends.
And I was somewhere in London in a restaurant about to have lunch. We did have lunch, but it was awful. Everything was shutting down. What was going through your mind on that day? You know, through my mind, I'm not a businesswoman. So I was just thinking, God, this is awful and strange and people, poor staff in the restaurant. But when you run a business and you have to look after staff and they rely on you for their wages, what was going through your mind at that point about business?
I think it was very interesting, Ruth, because none of us had any clue the severity, what was actually going to happen. There were, you know, mumblings from Downing Street that we might be closed down and nobody knew what it meant. So at that moment in time, we were all sort of swimming aimlessly in the sea and I didn't have a clue. It wasn't until it actually shut down and I realised that I had lost £3 million worth of business that was there for sort of over the next 12 months. That was to pay salaries, that was to pay rents, that was to pay electric, that was to, you know, to keep the business going. And so it was unreal is probably the word that I would use. But COVID for me was a really interesting time because it allowed me to take my foot off the accelerator. Since the age of 18, when I left school and went to work at Marks and Spencer's, and you know, I wrote my book during COVID, which we'll go on about tailor-made, and it's the whole kit and caboodle, but it was what drove me and the relationships in my life that made me who I was. And I was born with a silver spoon, but you know, never given, not really given anything other than a private education. So I had never stopped work from the age of 18 and I had hustled. I'd always been led by my gut. And as you know, you and I are both very similar. We'll talk to anybody because you never underestimate anybody. And I actually like talking to people.
Same.
So I took my foot off the pedal. And as the months rolled on, I decided that I would use the time productively. And instead of getting up at 7 o'clock in the morning to go on that treadmill for the, you know, CrossFit
hurdle. Every time I bring her in the morning, she's on the treadmill.
I know, you bought one yet, but you haven't.
No, I have not. I'm lying in bed having a cup of tea talking to you.
I'd go on at 8 o'clock or 8:30 and then I'd shower and then I would walk into locally to go and get a coffee. Yes. And everyone said hello because everyone was, you know, from being ignored for the last 20 odd years in Bowdoin in Cheshire, everyone sort of nodded and said hello. We were all in this together. And I used the time to reflect on what I could do in order to survive. And instead of finishing, I'd finish work at 8 o'clock. There was no time to the day. There was no time. And it also was very interesting how the staff reacted.
I was just going to say, you know, how difficult was that to actually speak to your staff and say, well, I'm going to have to lay you off? Or did you keep them on in some capacity?
I couldn't. But my staff is not just the five that work in the office. It's all the suppliers that have supported me for 30 odd years and delivered the magic in the events that I do. And it was like they would all phone up. What do you think? What do you think? Well, you know, have I got a fucking crystal ball? I don't know what I think.
But language, Elizabeth, language.
No, I'm allowed to swear. It's my podcast. But they, everyone just needed some sort of, some
insurance.
Something. And nobody had it. But what I did know was that I would come out surviving, as I had done two recessions. Of that, there was no question. How I would do it, I wasn't quite sure.
Well, particularly when you had all these events lined up and, you know, you're looking at the books, you know, I've got that coming up and I've got the three weddings and I've got, you know, great big hospitality events, and that just all comes crashing down. Hospitality was just closed, done, absolutely closed, shut down, and you didn't know when it was going to reopen. So having to deal with all those people whose events you were supposed to be managing, then looking at how much money that would be costing your business or losing your business, that must have been a very scary time though. How did you keep so positive?
So first of all those jobs had paid me a deposit because they were contractually obliged to pay me a deposit. And the deposits are non-refundable. Now what do? You put your big girl pants on and say, well, I'm sorry, but you're contractually obliged, or you dish out all the deposits and go into liquidation?
I don't know how to answer that question. Because actually, I would say, as a non-businesswoman, I would say, well, I have to keep your deposit, otherwise I've got no money. But then morally, I'd go, is that right? Because this is no fault of their own that this has been cancelled. They haven't cancelled it. COVID's cancelled it.
You're not going to like this, but there are no morals when you are in business, unless you are genuinely... you know, misbehaving or doing something wrong. You know, I am extremely loyal, as you know, and I have very, very high principles, and I would like to think that I have a high level of integrity, but I didn't have a choice here. And a contract is a contract. You know, I spent a lot of money on solicitors getting all these things in place. There was only one client that tried to sue me, fell out with me, will never use me again, and fine. But every other client came back and said, don't worry, when we come out of this, either we will put it to something else or X, Y, and Z. I either did the job after COVID, held it as a deposit for a further event, and one client I gave the money back when I was able to. And I think that mutual respect and integrity with the client and myself spoke volumes. So the government put in furlough, and like everybody, you know, we were all furloughed. And for me, the best thing was, in the December before, I'd always taken my salary as dividends. And had I continued to do so, I wouldn't have been entitled to furlough. And in the December before, I thought, I can't be doing this. I'm getting a tax bill every year and it's doing my head in. So I went on as a salaried employee of my business and therefore was entitled to furlough. Yeah, I mean, look, some of the, you know, I had one member of staff who came every day, and no, she shouldn't have done, and I'll probably get put in jail for this, sharing it on the podcast. But she, without her, I wouldn't, one left, one or one I let go because she wouldn't do anything other than what she was legally obliged to do. But, you know, it was all hands on deck. But this girl, and it's interesting, she had been with me for a long time, for 8 years, and she sat here every day. And at the end of COVID, when we came out of it, she said, before I settle down, I want to travel. She'd bought a house with a boyfriend. And I said, you know what? If I hadn't, you hadn't been with me, I wouldn't have come out of COVID. So I'm going to give you £10,000 and you can go and travel the world for 12 months. And when you come back, you can run my business for me. And if you don't come back, you give me the £10,000 back. And off she went when we came out of COVID. And 6 months later, I got a call from her sobbing. She said, I'm not coming back. She said, I'm in New Zealand. And I said, you know what? I said, enjoy it. I said, if I had my time again, I'd do it. I said, and keep the 10,000 because we're all back flying. And you know what? That for me was, she was unbelievable.
But you don't forget people who help you at your lowest times, your most difficult times. And I think actually COVID, for many friends who have got businesses I know, and even myself, I kind of run a business. I am my business, really. But you saw the people who stepped up, and you saw the people that sat back and were like, great, this is great, time off work now, and, you know, didn't give a shit about anybody. Oh, language, Ruth. So I think that's really interesting. And I could see why you wanted to reward that loyalty, because I know you are a very loyal person. You're tough, Liz. And, like, you know, you're When people say tough, I think that's often misconstrued, you know, as being difficult or nasty. Tough to me just means absolutely making a decision and sticking with it, saying exactly what you mean. And I've seen you in operation, and I'm very impressed, because I'm a bit of a beat around the busher, bit of a people pleaser, don't want to upset people. And it's interesting because we said we've got the same birthday, we're both Pisces, and I know that there's this lovely, soft, kind side to you, but in business, you're very focused, you know, very straight talking, which I imagine people appreciate. But did you have to learn to be like that? Did you think we could all be like that?
I think it's in the genes, and I genuinely believe a lot of it is due to the upbringing. For me, it was either sink or swim. And then when my daughters were 2 and 3 and I left their father, and he had emptied a trust fund that had been left to them by their grandfather, so there was nothing there for their private education, which they were in at 6 and 7. That was it for me. What did I do? And I saw an opportunity with the event business. And I repeat myself, it's all in the book, because we could be here for hours. But that for me was the catalyst. I had to make it work. And okay. I did. And I was very fortunate. And I hustled. You know, I met guys on the train that with Granada Studio Tours, and I hustled, and I found a fledgling industry that I was good at. I was creative. And I could chat and I could sell. And then I surrounded myself with all the people that could deliver. And they're still with me now.
That's wrong with you.
So, and you, I think you also, Ruth, I mean, you know, circumstances change, and you found this niche for yourself on QVC. And you could sell ice to Eskimos. You're the same. And it's that inherent in you.
Well, I think that was an opportunity that came to me, and I grabbed it with both hands. I didn't see it coming. You know, QVC said, I'd like to meet with Ruth, to my agent, and I'd like to talk about doing clothing range with her. Didn't see it coming, but I am a great believer. It's that kind of sliding doors moment, that an opportunity comes. You can either grab it with both hands and think, I don't know if I'll be any good at this, but let's try. And that came from my dad. My dad was that person. He'd go, what have you got to lose? You know, you might not be very good, and then it won't work, and it's not the end of the world. No one dies. So, you know, and I work very hard like you. And that's the other thing. I think people might look at you with your great business, and, you know, you're very well known in Manchester and here in London, that like, oh, look at Liz, isn't she lucky? And I hate that attitude from people. You're so, I guess it. Oh, isn't she lucky? She's so lucky. I think, no luck. I don't have a family with money. I didn't have anything. I left school at 18 with 2 3 O-levels, and one of those was needlework. But, you know, I like you, feel that I'm quite creative, and I've ended up in an industry that suits me. But some of that was luck, but not all of it. But I want to talk to you about what you invested in during that time of COVID, because I want to bring it back to business. You said you had to kind of diversify because hospitality was shut. Everything was shut. I know you did your book, but you've always said to me, brand is king.
That's the thing for me. Brand is king. And that was, you know what, 100 years ago, I worked for a fashion company called Crocodile, and Gail Raymond was the buyer, and she became my very, very close friend. She always said to me, whatever you do, build a brand. And it stuck with me forever. So when COVID happened, I thought, right, what am I going to do? I watched all my competitors invest in this visual stuff, you know, virtual events. And there was a huge investment in equipment, in people, it was all sorts of stuff. And it wasn't my bag at all. And I thought, there's no way that I'm going to invest £100,000+, which I've got from a CBILS loan, which the government have given me, in order for something that's not going to be happening in 2 years' time. Of that, I was certain. So I'd always wanted to start a consultancy and support the hospitality industry. And it wasn't going to cost me anything. It was only going to cost me my time. So I set up a limited company, and I decided that the people in the hospitality industry would be looking to attract people back once COVID was out. So where do you go to? You go to hotels and you go to restaurants. Ruth, I'm going to give you a voucher for £100 for the first 3 meals that you have at my restaurant when we come out of COVID. You're going to go, thank you very much, Liz, that's great. So Gary Neville and Ryan Giggs had opened Stock Exchange 6 months before COVID.
I stayed there. Beautiful hotel, love it.
I know. And you stayed there as a result of my connection.
I did indeed.
Gary's, I worked for Gary, and he's a real tough cookie, Gary, but he's actually very loyal. And I said to him, look, I'm doing this. And are you interested? He said, yes. I need activations for when the hotel opens for all the solicitors, the accountants and everyone that would come back in. And so we put this whole package together. I worked with him for 2.5 years, and Tom Kerridge was in the restaurant, and I had a lot of fun. For me, I loved it because it was something out of cleaning a marquee at 2 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, I loved the challenge. And then I was approached locally by an insurance company, a young guy who knew me, who'd left a huge insurance firm and had opened up near me in Cheshire for high net worth home insurance. And he said, you know, how can I brand it? I said, well, I'm your man. Not a clue.
I'm your woman. Come on. I'm your woman.
I'm your woman. You're quite right. And I worked with him for 6 months. And so it evolved. And it's evolved. And now I'm just negotiating with a glamping site in Yorkshire, which I shall take you and Lizzie Cundy to on one of our trips in a tent.
Not sure if I'm a glamping kind of girl, but I'll give it a go.
I said, but I have to tell you, it's amazing, this place. And they've got pods, and we're going to sort of turn it into a bit of a she hobo type place. But and you can tell by my voice that the challenge is exciting. So the consultancy. And then I thought, right, I've got a black book here and everyone sat at home. And so like you and Howard Donald and Joe Malone, remember I phoned you, I was driving home from London in the pouring rain and I wanted Joe Malone on my podcast. And it was like, do you phone a friend or ask the audience? I thought, no, I'll phone my friend Ruth. And I said, do you know Joe? She said, yes, of course I do. And within an hour, and had Joe Malone on my podcast. And so you hustle.
And hasn't she got an amazing story of her business?
Everybody has an amazing story.
Yeah.
You know, I had Vanessa Fells, I had Jonathan Shallet, I had Gary Neville, and it was fun. And there I was with my brand, Events That Made Me, the tailor-made book, the Liz Taylor Consultancy. And so I came out of it very strong, very strong. The only downside, and I would say this to anybody setting up a business now, is that I built the business around me, which was a mistake.
Because
to sell a business, it has to be the brand, not the person. And so what I've now had to do, 3 years out of COVID, and now having paid off the CBILS loan and having, you know, worked tirelessly to rebuild the brand and reestablish my relationships, I'm now giving two members of my team an incentive and a part of the business for them to move forward because it's their future. And I'm going to take a step back.
Is that difficult for you?
Difficult. I need tablets, as you can imagine, because I'm such a control freak. I have to zip my lip.
That's why I'm asking. I can't imagine you.
Very difficult. So difficult. But there's so much. First of all, I've had a lot of therapy, so I'm not as angry as I was. And also,
right. You need some more.
And also, there's mutual respect. You know, you play on people's strengths. So they know that I can come to you and say, oh, for God's sake, it's another £5,000. It's not going to kill you. And you'll say, all right, go on, I'll have it. That's my strength. And I'm creative. But the others pull the whole thing together. And without them, there wouldn't be a TLC event. So
also, do you believe that if you treat staff well and with respect and you give them incentive, they work hard for you, and they'll be loyal? I've always believed that.
I agree. You know, you treat people as you want to be treated yourself. But Marks and Spencer's training, you know, the Marks and Spencer's management training, you have to do every single job in the store. So you have to go in with the warehouseman, you have to clean with the cleaners. And so there is no differential. You know, every single person is an important part of that place. And that's how I feel.
And I think that is a great scheme, because I've always said that, you know, I've come up, you worked hard, I've come up through the ranks, as they say, and I've done a lot of those jobs, so I know what it's like. You know, I think now a lot of people come into TV through different ways, being on reality shows, whatever, and they haven't come up through the ranks, so they don't know what runners and researchers and producers really do. And I'm not saying it's wrong, it's just how it is. But I think if you've been there, done those jobs, when you're asking somebody to stay till 3 o'clock in the morning to clear up the marquee, I know you've done it because I've seen you.
I'm a great toilet cleaner. You're with the marigolds.
But I do think, you know, that there's been a lot of hard work. But I've asked you, was that difficult for you? Because I would imagine that is, when you've built a business in your name, to take a step back and say, I've got to kind of let other people now come into this business. It can't just be Liz Taylor, I think is hard. So where does that leave you going forward into the future? Are you looking to do a different business? Are you looking to do something just for you?
It's funny because I gave a talk yesterday in London to 200 very, very intelligent, bright, successful women. And we all of us talked about, you know, retiring. Where does it leave me? It leaves me with 10 more summers and very exciting opportunities. I think, first of all, as you know, Ruth, and we've had this conversation many times, with my first dividend, I invested in a small house. And now I've got about 14 little terraced houses, which bring me income, which during COVID was my, you know, safety net. And I thought, you know, thank God I've got those.
Yeah.
And I think you have to be savvy. Because my luck, I could live till 110 and my pension will run out. I don't know. It leaves me with, I just do not laugh at this now, but I have just, as a result of a conversation in Barbados last Christmas, I'm now on the book of Neves, which is the model agency.
Big model agency in London. Very big.
Carolyn Vanderbeer is looking after me and Paul Cavalier owns it. And as much as they wanted me to do the catwalk for Anne Summers, I had to decline.
Well, you just put the others to shame, really, wouldn't you?
I would have done, and it would have been a tea-foul thing because I would have needed a good press before I went down the catwalk. But there are lots of opportunities there. They've referred to me as talking head. So I'm just open. I'm open to opportunities. Financially, am I secure? I don't think any of us are ever financially secure. But
it's a bit scary, I think, at the stage in life. You know, when I was in my 20s, 30s, 40s, never used to think about the word pension used to make me yawn and think, oh, I'm bauble. I did have a pension. But as life goes on, it becomes very, very apparent that you have to start thinking about a little bit more about it, don't you?
Yeah, you do. You never know what's going to happen. I mean, I went to get my Botox yesterday from my man in Holland.
You have Botox, Liz? No.
I didn't hear what did.
Do you? I don't tell our listeners.
Anyway, and I've known him for a very long time because he's done a few tweets here and there for me. And he said to me, we were chatting and I said, do you think I'm mad? And then he went like this. He said, well, in a rather pleasant sort of way. If that's what somebody says to me, that's brilliant. So, yeah, you've got to be mad. You never know what life is going to hit. You're going to be served with. But what I would say is that I wake up in an apartment that is mine and that I've earned everything in. I have a freedom that I didn't necessarily expect, but I've embraced. I haven't got anyone saying what's for dinner and where should I put my washing. And I can get up and do exactly what I want. Am I going to travel the world? No. But I am going to seek out opportunities, not just for the money, but because that's what floats my boat.
I did see on Instagram a little bit of your speech that you were talking about. I hate the word speech, your talk with all these businesswomen yesterday. And somebody, I think, in the audience asked you about retiring. And you said, but I love what I do. So, and I feel like that. As long as I love what I do, I don't want to retire. I don't think about retiring. I think about my older age. I think about my security more. Like, will I have enough money to be okay? But in terms of work, until somebody doesn't, you know, hire me anymore, I would continue to work because I love what I do. And I think we're very lucky to love what we do.
So if you ask me one project, and this is genuine and this is not pre-rehearsed or anything, you did an event in London a couple of years ago called Feeling Fabulous. And it was brilliant. And you called on all your mates and to support, and you had the most amazing response. And I am so desperate to get my clutches into that, not from a financial perspective, but because if I associate myself with the Ruth Langsford brand, my social media absolutely goes through the roof. So that's my...
Well, you'll be very welcome. I would like to do that
eventually. You have to do it.
Yeah. And that feeling, the Feeling Fabulous brand continues, you know, with the brand awareness, and we're always talking about Feeling Fabulous because for that age group of women, the main message that came out of that was thank you, because there's nothing like this for us. They kept saying like, this is great, Ruth. There's nothing like this for us. And this for us, I knew meant for women our age. And they were women kind of 50 to 80, you know, kind of age groups, my age group. And they just feel invisible. And I hate that. It makes me sad. It makes me angry. I go, why are women made to feel invisible, or they feel invisible at 50 plus? So I think that's, you know, something that needs addressing. And I think people like you, Liz, are an inspiration. I'm sure women in that room yesterday when you gave your talk to all those business women were looking at you as inspirational, because that's why you're up there. And you don't always feel that, I know. You don't think of yourself as that, but you wouldn't be up there if you weren't. You are inspirational.
Yeah, I suppose I am. My daughter, who came yesterday, sent me the most amazing message last night. And I didn't know she felt like that. And she's 40.
Well, what did she say? That she was so proud of you being up there? And
yeah, shall I read it to you?
Yeah.
Mum, honestly, I was so impressed. Your stage presence, your confidence. And I put Goldie, and she put, you shone. I'm serious. I was so impressed. And I put, that means so much to me. And she put, in a non-patronising way, seriously.
Oh,
I thought, you know, and then, yeah. And then please can I go to Zara?
Actually, but it's love. It's a real moment when your children see you.
Yes, you do. And you know what?
Like when they see you in your work capacity, you know, otherwise you're just mom. And then you said, and actually, funnily, when Jack came to my event and he said the same to me, and he was only, it was like 3 years ago now, so it would have been 20. He was like, oh, I was so proud of you, mom. He was quite emotional because he was seeing a different person in a way, that I'm his mom. But then there I was on a stage with, you know, 2,500 women in this hall, all the event, and it was amazing. So it's nice for your children to acknowledge you as that business person, not just...
Yeah, it is. Am I proud? Yes, I'm proud. Am I nervous? I think I'll always be nervous because I never know what's around the corner. And I think that's the thing that frightens me, you know, what is around the corner. And I think as long as I've got that fear combined with the challenge and the fact that I love what I do, then I'll carry on working. I think the fear is a hugely important part of the drive, if that makes sense.
Makes perfect sense. And what does it feel the fear and do it anyway, they say, don't they?
Do they?
That's what you do. You feel the fear and you do it anyway, and you've made a great success. Listen, I've loved talking to you. It's so good to hear your side of business, because you've interviewed all these incredible people about their businesses, but you are an incredible business person too. Great friend as well. And there's a lot more we could talk about, but I don't think I can give all your secrets away on here. So, should we just say Liz Taylor, entrepreneur, event planner, hospitality consultant, author, podcaster, and now model. Thank you very much. And my great friend, thank you very much. It's been lovely talking to you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for listening to Events That Made Me. Do not forget to review the podcast, follow the podcast, and I'm on Instagram, Liz Taylor Consultancy.